Listeners like you make living on Earth possible each week. Please contribute today by clicking on the donate link to the left of the page. And thanks.
We recently came across an alarming paper in the scientific journal Infectious Disease Modeling Research Progress. A team of mathematicians from Canada modeled the potential outbreak of a new disease and found, quoting here, "an outbreak is likely to be disastrous unless extremely aggressive tactics are employed. It's imperative that those infected are dealt with quickly or else we are all in a great deal of trouble," end quote. Well, that got our attention, so we called up one of the paper's authors, Philip Munns at Carleton University in Ottawa. So, Philip Munns, what exactly is this infection that we're talking about?
Sadly, this infection is a zombie outbreak.
Zombies, you said?
Zombies, yes.
Okay, so this is a serious mathematical model based on a fictitious horror movie scenario. Do I understand this?
This is some heavy math, some realistic math, dealing with the fictional zombie disease.
First off, what kind of zombies are we talking about here? Because, you know, as any fan of zombie movies would know, not all zombies are the same. What zombies are yours like?
Oh, no, yeah, you're preaching to the choir when you talk about all the different types of zombies. The zombies that we cover are the ones that you see in the 1968 movie Night of the Living Dead, which was the sort of first real pop culture zombie flick.
The dead who live on living flesh. Night of the Living Dead.
A classical approach, if you will, to zombies.
Yes, the classical approach.
Okay. So a zombie enters your town. What happens? How does the model play out?
So, yes, our ideas were sort of taken out of movies where, like in Shaun of the Dead, mm-hmm. people don't realize why someone attacked them, and that someone actually ends up being a zombie.
Oh, my God. She's so drunk.
And then before people actually start realizing what's happening, there's already quite a large number of zombies around in the city.
Hmm. Okay, what might we do about it? Could we quarantine them?
Well, that's actually one of the things that we look at in the paper. We thought that the quarantine would be the fastest thing that you could coordinate on such a short notice. The problem was that with zombies, you can tell that they're zombies. With people who are infected, you can't so much tell if they've been infected by a zombie, if they're not a zombie yet.
Ah, so there's some latency between infection and full-blown zombieism.
Yes. And again, stuff that you see in movies where the boyfriend gets bit and he's like, oh, I'm fine. Mm-hmm. But then halfway through the movie, they've got the dramatic interlude where the girlfriend has to take out her boyfriend.
Happens all the time.
Yeah, you know, so there is, it's not an instantaneous change from a human to turning into a zombie.
So if you can't successfully quarantine everyone, if just a few escape the quarantine doesn't work according to your model, is that right?
Exactly, the quarantine uh-huh. doesn't work. And it's very hard to find these people who are infected, but not yet zombies.
Okay, so quarantine is out, doesn't work. Scientists are hard at work to find out what this is about. They come up with a cure. Is that an option?
Yeah. Say the quarantine at least was a little bit helpful and they did come up with a cure. What possibilities might the cure hold? So our cure changes a zombie back to a human pretty much right away. But then once the person is human again, they're susceptible to turning back into a zombie.
Oh, so it's not a vaccine.
It's not just a vaccine.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm.
Even so, we thought, well, let's give it a try. Let's see what happens with the cure. And we are actually able to come up with a bit of a state where if we had enough resources, there's only about 10% human at any one time, and the rest of the people in the city have turned into zombies.
That's pretty grim. The cure is not sounding like a great option here. So what is the ultimate solution here? I'm imagining the scene in the movie where the scientist, possibly played by Jeff Goldblum, goes to the authorities and says, here's what we have to do.
The assistant to Jeff Goldblum would be me in that movie.
Okay.
Actually, the scientist would say, well, the only chance we have is lethal force.
So lock and load, aim for the head. That's the ultimate recommendation here.
Yeah, okay. Chief, if I were surrounded by 6 or 8 of these things, would I stand a chance with them?
Well, there's no problem. If you had a gun, shoot them in the head. That's a sure way to kill them. If you don't, get yourself a club or a torch. Beat them or burn them. They go up pretty easy.
So we thought, okay, well, let's see what we could do to model that using math that actually gave proof to the fact that, yeah, at the end of those movies, when the army comes in and wipes out a whole bunch of zombies at a time, that's actually a feasible solution.
Mm. As a mathematician, does this add to your enjoyment of zombie movies to go to one, watch it, and say, yep, that's the way it would happen?
I do that with pretty much all the movies, not just zombie movies.
You
it's
do?
Like, well, could the Borg take over the human race?
What about romantic comedies? Do you apply your mathematic modeling to rom-coms?
Those ones, actually, there is no logic in those. So.
Good point. Philip Munz's paper is called When Zombies Attack, Mathematical Modeling of an Outbreak of Zombie Infection. Great fun talking with you.
Well, thank you for having me.
And, you know, it sounds like you got a big brain. My advice, be careful out there.
Yeah, they want me for my brain, those zombies.
Who dat then they say do the zombie? Do the zombie, whoa, yeah. Do the zombie. Do the zombie, yeah, 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 yeah. Ooh, do the zombie.
Living on Earth is produced by the World Media Foundation. Our crew includes Bobby Bascom, Eileen Belinsky, Bruce Gellerman, Ingrid Lobet, Jesse Martin, Helen Palmer, Jessica Elise Smith, Ike Shriskandaraja, and Mitra Taj, with help from Sarah Calkins, Marilyn Gavoni, and Sammy Souza.
Our interns are Quincy Campbell and Nirja Parekh. Jeff Turton is our technical director. Allison Lirish-Dean composed our themes. You can find us anytime at loe.org. I'm Jeff Young.
And I'm Steve Kerwood. Thanks for listening.
Funding for Living on Earth comes from the National Science Foundation, supporting coverage of emerging science, and Stonyfield Farm, organic yogurt and smoothies. Stonyfield pays its farmers not to use artificial growth hormones on their cows. Details at stonyfield.com. Support also comes from you, our listeners. The Ford Foundation, the Town Creek Foundation, the Oak Foundation, supporting coverage of climate change and marine issues. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, dedicated to the idea that all people deserve the chance to live a healthy, productive life. Information at gatesfoundation.org. And Pax World Mutual Funds, socially and environmentally sustainable investing. Pax World for tomorrow. On the web at paxworld.com.
PRI, Public Radio International.